Well, good morning. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Thank you, God, for this beautiful day. Thank you for this opportunity that we each have to gather together here and to learn about you and to worship you. Lord, I pray that you would be with each one here this morning. Help us to put aside whatever distractions like to come along and take our focus off you. And I just pray that this morning could be a inspiration and just an uplifting time for everyone here this morning. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So this morning I am going to be talking about how God speaks to humans and also how can we hear from God. I think often we can do things that make it harder for us to hear from God. And so, yeah, I guess this morning I'd just like to give us a first a look at how God speaks to us, and then how do we put aside those things that are stopping us from hearing from God. I often wished I had a better understanding of how God speaks to us. I had heard stories from the Bible and also from different parts of the world where God spoke to people through dreams and through other ways angels would come to people. We see a lot of that throughout the Bible, especially in the Old Testament. And you'd hear stories of people getting physically spoken to by God. And that's never happened to me. And I don't think I know anyone personally who has had that happen. And so that all is interesting to me, and the whole idea of God communicating with humans and how that happens is really important, I think, and it's actually talked about a lot in the Bible. So that's what I want to look at this morning. I want to look at some examples from the Bible and just any guidance on how we can hear God speaking to us. Obviously, when I talk about God speaking to us, we know God works in the spiritual, not just the physical. So, I'm not saying that God never speaks to us in a physical voice, but I think that's not one of the main ways he speaks to us today. I did write down three main ways I think we get spoken to today. I have the Bible, the Holy Spirit, and the community. I didn't number these in order of importance. I don't know that I really could do that. But I want to start with the Bible because I believe that it's probably one of the most common ways that God can speak to us. And also, it's something that we all have. We often overlook it. Sometimes I feel like we can just ignore it or say to ourselves, why am I not hearing from God? Why do I not have any communication? Why do I not feel a certain way when every one of us has the Bible in our house? And there's a lot of verses throughout the Bible that speak of that being a way that God communicates with us. Hebrews 1, verse 1 and 2, you don't need to turn there. Mostly, I'm going to be picking verses from random parts throughout the Bible, so it's going to be kind of hard to follow along, but you can try if you want. Hebrews 1, verse 1 2 says, "In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets many times in various ways, but in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, and through whom also He made the universe." So these verses imply that God changed His way of communication. It says God used to communicate through His prophets, but now He speaks through His Son. While we're talking about how God communicated in the past, I'd like to just look at a couple examples of how he did that. So the first one I wrote down was dreams. And you'll mostly find this throughout the Old Testament, probably, but some of these are in the New Testament as well. There's many places in Scripture that God used dreams to speak to people. We think of Jacob in Genesis when he saw the ladder coming down from heaven. We know Joseph had dreams that foretold what would happen when his family would bow before him in Egypt one day. God spoke to Isaiah through a dream about basically the state that Israel was in. So God spoke through dreams quite a bit. There's a lot more examples of that. God spoke to the wise men through dreams. God spoke through angels a lot as well. Jacob met an angel when he was preparing to meet his brother Esau with his family. Zacharias, we know, heard from an angel about the birth of his son, John the Baptist. And there's many, many more examples of angels coming and speaking to people. God also spoke verbally to people. Abraham in Genesis 12, he was told by God to leave his country, go to a place that God promised him. That was God speaking right to him. I think Moses and Aaron heard God speak in Exodus 7, in preparation of going to talk to Pharaoh. And there's a bunch more examples of that. There's more examples of God speaking through a donkey, writing on a wall. God used a lot of different ways to speak then. And I'm not saying that he can't use any of those today. I'm just saying from the study that I did, primarily how he speaks is these today are those three things that I mentioned. There's a couple of verses I would like to read here. Hebrews 4:12 says, and this is speaking, I guess, of the importance of the Bible as a way that God communicates with us. Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable for teaching, reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, and this is where Jesus was being tempted. He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but on every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So in those first two verses, we just see the importance of the Bible, the power that the Bible has. It says it's breathed out by God. And then in that last verse, Jesus is being tempted there, and he says basically that spiritual food is more important than the physical food. Man can't live by bread. We need God's word. I think this verse really hits at the root of what's often our problem when we feel like we're not being spoken to by God or we don't have communication with God, because so often, at least for me, we take the Bible for granted. We don't think of it as the breathed word of God. And I think that's just, we've always grown up with it being there. And I think that's kind of natural for it to feel not as important as it is. I don't know if any of you guys have listened to Otto Koning. He was a missionary that he gave a series where he talked about God's grade school is what he called it. And basically, what he talked about there was where he thought he was in life and where God was actually taking him, or where he thought he was in God's grade school and where he actually was. He basically thought he was ready to graduate and God was taking him through the first grade. He thought he was, a missionary with all these years of experience. But in reality, he still hadn't had the basics down. He hadn't given up his pride. He hadn't given up a lot of his possessions. And so he kind of goes through that in those series and talks about God taking him through all these different grades. And I think often we're at the same place he was, where we think we deserve maybe something bigger, maybe a word from God. We want communication with God, but in our personal lives, we still haven't fulfilled the most basic commands to love our neighbors, to live in humility, and I think that's often where I find myself at. And so to have, if we have the Bible right there, we can take that, we can read that, and we can hear from God. A.W. Tozer said, until the Bible begins speaking to us, we really have not been reading it. And I think that's true. The other thing, other main way that I think God speaks to us today is through the Holy Spirit. And I would just like to clarify here that you can't necessarily separate the Scripture and the other thing I had was community from the Holy Spirit, because I think He works through those things as well. So I guess when I'm talking about the Holy Spirit here, it'll more be the Holy Spirit convicting us and moving inside of us. In John chapter 16, verses 13 through 15, it says, but when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you in all truth. He will not speak on His own. He will speak only what He hears, and He will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify Me because it is from Me that He will make known what He will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is Mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from Me what He will make known to you. Also, John 14, verse 26 says, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in My name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I've said to you. So these verses speak to what we were talking about earlier, of God, after sending His Son, now He speaks through His Spirit, where before He would have spoken through prophets or angels or dreams. Once again, I'm not saying He never does. I've heard modern stories of that happening. There's a lot more verses like that throughout the New Testament, like the ones I just read about God sending the Holy Spirit to teach us. Especially in Acts, I think we see the Spirit prompting and moving in people there. Just a couple examples are in Acts chapter 20. The Holy Spirit warned Paul. He said, bonds and afflictions were going to be awaiting him in Jerusalem. He told him in every city. In Acts chapter 13, the Holy Spirit spoke to the church leaders. He told them to set apart for God Barnabas and Saul for the work they had called them to do. In Acts chapter 8 as well, the Spirit told Philip to go to the chariot of the Ethiopian official to preach the gospel. In Acts chapter 16, the Holy Spirit told Paul and his companions to not speak the word in Asia, and He steered them then in the direction that He wanted them to go. And there's also more examples of the Holy Spirit speaking to people. Now, I guess my question would be, I don't know if that was like a physical voice, something they heard, or if it was just, if they felt a nudging inside them. I'm not sure how He was speaking there. It doesn't say anywhere, but it does say there's prophets inside the church. I guess it could have been through the prophets in the church. I don't know. We're not really told anywhere how it was spoken, but I do know that the Holy Spirit is one of the ways that God will be speaking to us. And also, the Holy Spirit will speak through Scripture, through other people, and yeah, we're going to go through that a little more too. But I guess when I say the Holy Spirit here, what I mean primarily is an inward conviction. And we'll look at how the Holy Spirit works in other ways in just a minute here. Community was the last big thing I had. And I didn't really know what to call it, so I just called it community. But I think it can be people around us, Christians around us. I don't think it's specifically just our church. I think God can speak to us through the people around us. In Acts chapter 13, there was a group of people gathered together worshiping the Lord, and they were fasting. Let's just read Acts chapter 13. You don't need to turn to it if you want. It's just verses 1 through 3. Now in the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simon called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manan, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for Me Barnabas and Saul for the work which I have called them. So after they fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. And so this was an example that I gave earlier of the Holy Spirit speaking in Acts. And as we see in that situation, God was moving in that group of people through the prompting of the Spirit. There was a verse we read earlier that said, all scripture is breathed by God and is profitable for teaching, reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. And I don't think that just goes for the individual. I think that is well goes for other people around us. I think the Spirit can speak to people through the scriptures, and those people can talk to you in those ways. I don't think that's I don't think that's just for us to read the Bible and, you know, reprove ourselves or correct ourselves. I think that's for others to do as well. I'd like to read a couple verses in 1 Corinthians 12, verses 1 through 11. You can turn there if you'd like. All right, 1 Corinthians 12, verses 1 through 11. It says, now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Ye know that you were Gentiles, carried away into these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are differences of administration, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another divers kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. We don't all have the same gifts. And I think God can use others and their gifts. I think that's pretty clear here to speak to us. I have heard people say, I've heard a lot of people say actually, that basically stay out of their life, it's between them and God. And I just don't think that is, I don't think that's what the Bible says. I think we saw here, there's, everybody is given different gifts. I think some people can speak to us in one way, other people can speak to us in other ways, and those things can be given by the Spirit. They can be a way that God is speaking to us. So those are the main ways that I think God will speak to us today if we let Him, if we're paying attention. And I have a couple things here that I would like to go through. Just things that we can do to hear God or to be ready to hear God speak. First one I have is, in order to hear Him speak, we need to enter His presence. And in a sense, I guess God is always present. We can't escape. We can't hide by running somewhere. We're always in the presence of God in a certain sense. But what I mean by coming into His presence is coming with a heart that knows who God is and what He's done for us. I guess if we really recognize those things and come with a reverence, we should, and shut other things out. I think that's what entering into His presence is. There's a lot of verses in the Bible that talk about that, especially in Psalms, you see a lot of verses speaking about that. And I think it's important that we have the reverence we should when we enter the presence of God. James chapter 4, verse 8 says, "Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you." Notice the order that's in. It says, "Draw near to God, and he's going to draw near to you." I think if we want that communication, if we want God to speak to us, we need to desire that as well. We need to desire to draw near to God. In Psalms 139, verse 17 and 18, David is talking about God's thoughts about himself. And he says, "How precious are your thoughts about me, O God? They cannot be numbered. I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of sand." And when I first heard that verse, I was listening to some stuff and reading some things, and it was really interesting to me. That's a lot of thoughts. You know, if you think about the people that you really care about, how many thoughts have you thought about them? It's definitely not that many. God, I think, wants to have a relationship with us. We just need to be ready for that with him. We need to draw near to him, and he will draw near to us. I think coming before God with reverence as well is important. It's easy, I think, especially now in our culture, because it's just easy to come before God with no fear of him and no awe, no understanding, really, or at least not thinking about what he's done. And I don't think that's... I think you need to come before God with reverence to be in his presence and to actually be able to communicate with him. I had to think about my relationship with God and how that would compare with anybody else. If I treated a relationship with any one of you like I did with God, how would that work? I think that's a good thing to think about. Talking for half an hour a day to someone and then shutting them off for the rest of the day, that's not going to work. I think, yeah, it was interesting for me to think about that. It says God's thoughts about us are more than the sand. That's a lot of thoughts. And are we actually seeking God like he is seeking us? I think this is something we all have room to improve in, I'm sure. And I don't have all the answers as to, you know, why God speaks differently at different times. But the reality is we have his word, we have his spirit, we have community, we have people around us. God can speak through all of those things if we will let him. Another thing I wrote down is, in order to hear God, we need to be still. And you might ask, what does that mean? I think it means putting aside just all other distractions and thinking and focusing on God. And this is probably one of the hardest for me, honestly, because it's so easy to be distracted by other things. There's just so much other things going on, and to completely put those aside and focus on God, it's kind of hard to do consistently, but I think it's important. I read somewhere that sometimes stillness is the best action that we can take, and I think sometimes if we want to hear from God, that's just what we need to do. We need to put all other things aside and just think about who God is. I want to end with a verse from John chapter 10, verse 27 and 28. It's actually two verses. Jesus is talking to the Jews here about who he is, and he says, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand." So if that's who we are, if we're the sheep here, then we should desire to listen, to know his voice, to learn to recognize his voice. Going through these things is pretty interesting for me. Just hearing... Well, listening to the things I listened to, reading the things I read, it was just interesting to me to hear about how God speaks, and then kind of inspiring to think of how I can make a difference in how I hear God's voice. If I really care, if I really desire to be in communication with God, we can all do that. I think the verse that stuck out to me the most as I was going through these different things was the one in Psalms 139, where it talks about God's thoughts being more than the sand, just realizing how much God cares, how much He wants that relationship. It makes me want it more, makes me want to put more effort into it, I guess. And so those things were an inspiration to me. I hope they were to you as well. That's all I had.